Continuing our thoughts in the book of Romans, we're in chapter 11, and I would like to read verses 7 through 11, and then focus our attention on verses 8 through 11 this morning. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the elect hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. One of the problems that people have in studying the book of Romans is that they see that God is talking, or they think that God is talking to saved and lost. And these that did not obtain what they were seeking for were lost. And the reason why they didn't obtain what they were seeking for is that God blinded them. And they say, well, God blinded them because they refused to see. Well, all of us have done that. And so why have we had the privilege of seeing? The key is this. The book of Romans is not talking to lost and saved, but he's talking to saved. Some are chosen, some are not. And he is talking about how he has dealt with the nation of Israel. Some have eyes and ears to see and hear, and others do not. And this is God's doing. This is God's choice. And because we are bought with a price, we're not our own, he can do with us as he pleases. I was reading in the book of Isaiah for my devotions this morning, in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah went down to the potter's house to see him making a vessel. And the vessel was marred, and he made another one. And he told Jeremiah to tell the nation of Israel, don't I have the privilege of making you what I want to make of you? And God does. God has that privilege. And so when we're talking about Israel not obtaining what he was seeking for, but the elect hath obtained it. In other words, the Israelites are those who have obtained the righteousness which is of faith. It's the Israelites and the elect are the ones that are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom, and the rest will not. And that's just simply not a fact of life, but a fact of Scripture. That's what is being presented. God does have those that will rule and reign, and He will have those that will not. And the exciting thing about it is this. Those who He has chosen to rule and reign with Him are those that are last today. The insignificant, the unknown. In fact, in that day, when the Lord comes and displays the saints, those that believed, aorist, are going to be astonished with those that are with Him, ruling and reigning. They're going to say, where did these people come from? We never heard of them before. And so, that's what God is doing. And what He is showing us in the book of Romans is that He has made a distinction between those that are going to rule and reign with Him and those who are not. And it's not a matter of who's going to be saved and who isn't. This all has to do with the family and what God is going to do in the family. Because I'll tell you that God is not in the business of damning people to hell because He wants to. But He is in the business of choosing those whom He wants to be with Him and excluding those in the family that He doesn't want to be there in a place of honor and glory. Now, in verse 8 it says, according as it is written, God hath given them, he's talking about Israel, the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should see not, and ears that they could not or should not hear to this day. So Paul knew there were those that were not going to hear and were not going to see, and he wasn't going to waste time working with them. He was going to reach out to the Israelites, those who had been given eyes to see and yet and ears to hear, yet slow in responding to that truth. He wanted to win them. And it takes time to win people to the truth. It's just like in a football game. They don't line up on the field and the before the kickoff, and somebody chooses the winner right then. They have to win the game. It takes time, and that's what it does in sharing the truths out of the Scripture. It takes time to win people. Okay? It takes time. Now, these are quotations out of the Old Testament. In Isaiah 29:10, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." In other words, it's the Lord's doings that's what we're talking about. And then in Isaiah 6:9-10, the Lord is talking to Isaiah to go to this people with a message that they won't hear or they can't hear. In verse 9 of Isaiah 6, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not. See ye indeed and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed." This is talking to someone who is alive that needs to be made well. This is not talking about those dead in their trespasses and sins. It's talking about live people, people who have been given life by God. These are saved people. And they are rebellious people. They're a people with their own agenda. Extra laws that they want to keep to make them look real good in the eyes of the people. So we know that it's the Lord's doings. In John 12, it refers to Isaiah's prophecy. In verse 38-40, "That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Or, "Lord, who hath believed the hearing of faith?" Because that's the report that he's being talking about in Romans chapter 10. "And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe." Present tense. This is what they're talking about, believing in the present tense. Everybody is allowed to believe in the aorist tense to be saved, but not everybody is going to believe in the present tense to be qualified to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. And it takes faithfulness. And let me say this, it costs you to be faithful to the truths that you have seen and God has shown you. It can cost you your family. Your family can reject you, put you out. And they can only do that for so many years. Because, and you compare that to the 1,000 years, what is 70 years compared to 1,000 years of ruling and reigning with Christ? No comparison. You can put up with being cast out by your earthly family, so you can qualify to rule and reign with Christ in the heavenly family and kingdom. So, they could not believe in the present tense because Isaiah said, again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should see not, or not should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." So this is what the Lord has done. He has chosen this, and He accomplished it. And we will see why in just a few minutes, what He did. It's interesting. Now, back in Romans chapter 11, verse 9, it says, David said, "Let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. I don't know that I've ever seen so much written about a table. David wrote about a table that's going to trap you and going to snare you, and you're going to trip over it, and you're going to get what you deserve from it. And what is a table for? Well, we have game tables, and they didn't play games on tables then. They put the showbread on the table in the tabernacle, but a table was a place of eating, place of feeding. And it's what they fed on that would snare them and trap them and cause them to stumble and to give them the repay or the consequences of what they eat. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always, or afflict them. In other words, it will be an affliction. In Psalm 69, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Let their table become a snare before them, that they should have been for which should have been for their welfare. Let it be a trap." In other words, the feeding at the table is a place where you gain nourishment, and there's fellowship, and there's joy, and that goes on around the table. But here, it should have been for their welfare, but it's not. It's a trap. Man. "And let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually shake." You know, it's amazing what you eat, how it affects you. You can get really sick on the food that you are partaking. And obviously the nation of Israel, when they ate, it caused them to go blind. I always, when I was a kid, they were talking about drinking wood alcohol. You ever heard of drinking wood alcohol? Well, as kids, we always heard that if you drank wood alcohol, you'd see the wind and it would scare you to death. Anyway, it's amazing what when I was a kid, I heard the moon was made out of green cheese. You know why? Because it looked like it was. Anyway, it's interesting what you hear as a kid. But here, what they were feeding at the table was a trap, when it should have been a welfare. In Isaiah 28, we see something very interesting that went on at the table of Israel. "And they also have erred through wine, through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink." When I think about strong drink, I think about ministering to the flesh. Why are you drinking? You want to have a feeling. You want to experience something. And that's what the priests were doing. They were ministering to their flesh. It says, "They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no clean place." What was on the table? Well, vomit and filthiness. And you sit down to eat at that table, you got a problem. You're going to be sick. And when I think of, let me just say this. This may be a little crude, but when you think about vomit, you know what vomit is? That's pre-digested food, isn't it? That's food that's gone into your stomach, and it started the digestive process, and then it comes out. Now, there's other ways that pre-digested food doesn't necessarily make you sick, and that's in milk. A lady, a mother, she eats good food. She produces pre-digested food for her baby in her bosom. There's a difference in the process, okay? Now, let's go on. I want to pick up on the wine part here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where in excess be filled with the Spirit. And that Spirit, being filled with that Spirit, is not the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, you get all of the Spirit that you can get. I mean, we're not half full of the Holy Spirit. He comes and indwells you. This Spirit he's talking about here is the Abba Spirit in my judgment. And that can change. Your bearing of the fruit of the Abba Spirit can change. You don't have to love all the time, and you don't have to be kind all the time, and you don't have to be faithful or temperate all the time. But the fruit of the Abba Spirit is temperance and meekness and love and joy and peace and kindness. Now, when you're being drunk with wine, you're being unwise, because you're not focusing on understanding the will of the Lord. And that's what was happening to the nation of Israel. They weren't focusing on the will of God in their life. They were focusing on a fleshly experience, and it made them sick. Continuing in Isaiah 28, it says in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. There's a place to get predigested food, and you need it for a while. But if you're going to be able to grasp doctrine, you got to be weaned off of the milk. And how does the weaning process take place? Well, precept upon precept. What that means is a spoon of spinach and a spoon of carrots. That's precept upon precept. A little solid food here, a little solid food there. And line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. The words milk and solid. Milk and solid. And then eventually you get away from the milk. Then it says in verse 11, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. I was wondering, what is he saying in this verse? Stammering lips and another tongue? I mean, he did not come to the nation of Israel speaking Chinese or any other language. He came to speak in the language that they can understand. But stammering lips speak of unintelligible speech. This is what this is talking about. And the Lord just brought to mind that what did he come to teaching? He taught in parables. This is what this verse is telling me. When he came, he taught them in parables. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, the disciples says, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And Jesus tells them why he was speaking to them in parables. Because it is given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. They couldn't get it. Because he was speaking in a way where they couldn't understand it. And when you speak unintelligibly and in a way that people don't get it, they walk off. And I've told you this before. I had that experience in Florence, Italy, when I went on a tour to see the sights of that city. And when we were in the baptistry of the cathedral in Florence, Italy, this lady was telling about the baptistry in English. And I was right there getting it all down. And then she switched over to another language. She didn't tell me that she was now going to switch to another language. She just started talking in another language. And I knew it's time for me to leave. I didn't get what she was saying. So I just started looking at all the mosaics in the floor and so forth and so on. Well, Jesus spoke in language and taught doctrine. In fact, it's doctrine that he was teaching in Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine. He was getting them off of the milk of the Word onto the meat of the Word in parables. And he did it in a way where they didn't get it if they weren't supposed to. That's the point. And then in Isaiah 28:13, and the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The point is this, I think. They couldn't endure sound doctrine. And so therefore they went backwards. They could not endure it. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables," fiction. And I tell you, you're drunk with wine, you're telling all kinds of fables. I've heard that over and over again. I know when I was in the Navy and the guys would come into the barracks drunk. And they knew I had had taken a stand for the Lord. And they'd come by my rack and get me out of my rack and take me into the head or the bathroom. And they were, you know, repenting, and they were, you know, feeling bad and so forth and so on. And they were, you know, next morning when they were sober, they were nowhere to be found. And no more talk about spiritual things. So, anyway, drunk with wine crazy causes you to do crazy things. But we find in 2 Peter an illustration of what happened to the nation of Israel. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." And the way of righteousness had to do with doctrine. It had to do with the doctrine of the righteousness which is of faith. That was the righteousness which the elect found and the non-elect didn't find, obtain. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Singular in number. The holy commandment. It's an interesting commandment. "But it happened unto them according to the proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again." That was on their table. And not only that, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I believe that's what was on their table too. Mire. Filth. And the holy commandment that we have received is found, I believe, in 1 John 3:23. "And this is the commandment, that we should believe," present active, "on the name." What does believing present active on the name imply? It has to do with believing the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. Because that's the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 19:13. And that's the commandment that we should never forsake, is believing. First of all, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is in the heavens as our high priest. And that He is there so that those who have been called unto His kingdom in glory can enter into that calling and enjoy the blessings. And not only that, we are to believe on His name of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandments. Did you know that love is the catalyst for faith? And what do I mean by catalyst? sometimes in chemistry labs for a chemical reaction to take place. In other words, two elements come together and fizzle and bubble and heat and, you know, do all kinds of things as a chemical reaction. Sometimes you have to have a piece of wire in there, platinum or some other kind of piece of wire down in the chemistry or the chemicals to get it to come together. And that's a catalyst. And it's love that makes faith work. And faith is believing in the present tense. And so, faith, we're to love one another as He gave us commandment. Because if we don't love one another, we are not going to have life for the age. That's all there is to it. Now, the question. Isaiah then, have they stumbled that they should fall or fail? God forbid. But rather through their fall or falling away, in other words, this word fall here comes from a compound Greek word meaning to fall away. Through their falling away, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now this salvation is the so great salvation in my judgment. Because salvation has always been open to every Gentile from Adam's day until today. Abimelech, the Jonah went to Nineveh. Rahab, the harlot in Jericho. These were saved Gentiles. I'm persuaded even Caleb, who was a leader in the nation of Israel, being a dog, was a Gentile. So Gentiles have always been able to be saved. So this salvation here is a salvation that Gentiles have not always had privilege to. And that is the salvation that has to do with entering the kingdom of heaven. It's the so great salvation of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, which we will read in just a moment, is come to the Gentiles to provoke whom? To provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. They're saying that the Gentiles are getting what belongs to them. And you know, as a child, when somebody took your toy, you were jealous that, and you wanted to grab it away from them. Well, that's what God was doing, is to provoke them to jealousy, to give something that they wanted or to someone else that doesn't deserve it. The Gentiles didn't deserve it. And we will see why in just a moment. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. What was the message that Jesus proclaimed at the first? He proclaimed, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the so great salvation that we can neglect. That salvation is only offered to saved people, not to lost people. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, this is what Jesus was preaching at the first. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, say or preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the so great salvation that we can neglect, particularly if you've been given ears to hear that message and you do not produce the fruits thereof. Now, the word that we read in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Their fall or falling away. This word falling away is only used one other place in the New Testament. And it's only in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, And that is, enlightened in what? The way of righteousness. And have tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And I don't think this has to do with the Holy Ghost coming in you or being indwelt by the Holy Ghost. To be made partakers of the Holy Ghost, you have to attend His classes. And He will teach you if you will let Him. Because that's His ministry today. He convicts of sin and He teaches the truth of the Scriptures. And have tasted the good word of God. And this, by the way, is the Rhema word. The specific word of God. And I believe that specific word of God is the gospel of the kingdom. And it says, and the powers of the age to come. Well, the powers of the age to come having to do with the sign gifts in that period of time. And the age that's coming has to do with the millennium. And let me tell you, there will be signs in the millennium. It won't be prove anything. It'll just be available to those who are there. But anyway, let's continue. If they shall fall away, parapipto, to renew them again to repentance. This has to do with falling away. Falling away from things that pertain to His coming kingdom and glory. It has nothing to do with salvation. And going on to maturity is something that God allows and doesn't allow. And you find that in verse 3. I didn't include verse 3 here, but that's what it's included in this. Now, we are exhorted in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, that is, bearing fruit, the fruit of the Abba Spirit, and we'll see that in just a moment, you will never fail. You won't do what Israel did. You won't fail. You'll succeed. You'll enter into the coming kingdom in glory with honor. You'll be vessels of honor, vessels of gold, ruling and reigning with Christ. Now, it says in this verse, verse 10, for if you do these things, what things? Well, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8 tells us the things that we are to be doing to make our calling and election sure, that we don't fail. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the deeper knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do these things, the Lord's going to be opening the Scriptures to you, and not just simply the milk of the Word, but doctrine, the deeper knowledge, the exact knowledge of God. Now, what is interesting here is this. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, or faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there's no law. In other words, you're not limited on bearing any of this fruit. There's no restrictions. Isn't that neat? There's no law on this. And if you read these words and compare them to the words that are found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, you see the parallel. If you're producing the fruits of the Spirit, you're going to be prepared to receive truth from God, from the Lord. And just, it's the deeper truths of the Word. That's epinosis. And so it's important for us to bear the fruits of the Abba Spirit. And one of them is the meekness part of it, submitting to the will of God. Because that was the Spirit in which Jesus Christ lived. And if we will do that, What's going to happen? Verse 11 of 2 Peter 1. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the age-lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You do these things, you're going to enter into the kingdom and to rule and reign with Christ. But you know what? You can neglect that so great salvation to the point that you're disqualified from ruling and reigning with Christ. And the Jews did that. Israel did that. It was God's doing. But you know what? God wanted to teach us something that would help us to be faithful to Him. Israel, saved Israel, could lose something they wanted. And you and I can lose something we want. We want to hear well done. You know you can lose that. You can hear from the Lord, depart from ye workers of lawlessness. If you're not under the control of the Lord, you are lawless. We need to submit to Him. And the way we do that is to bear the fruit of the Abba Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, self-control. Well, where are we going to feed? We're not going to feed at the table they fed at. We want to feed at the table where there is real meat and food to encourage us in our walk with Him. We don't need the other stuff, okay? And I won't even mention it anymore. It's gross. And it makes you sick. And let me tell you, when you stand in His presence and you hear, depart from me, it's going to make you sick. You're not going to like it. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to each of our hearts, that we might be encouraged to be faithful and pay the price required to stand in Your presence approved. Help us, Lord, to endure in these days and not quit, but be faithful to You, giving diligence to make our calling and election sure, so that we won't fail. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to stand in Your presence in that day and not be ashamed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.